Epic Games is in everything. Tina is not so tiny after all. And MKB has finally figured out how to review games. All of this and more in this episode of A Higher Score. Time to get serious. So, welcome to A Higher Score. I am MKB, and this is a totally righteous gaming podcast. We're a few Christian gamers on a mission to save the world. I don't know. Seems good.
We're going
to
try.
So, we're going to have some fun. We're going to build an amazing community to have that fun with, and we are going to change the world through gaming. Our scripture that our community is planted on, this is a faith-based community, is 1 Corinthians 15:33. Find it in your scripture machine. It says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. So here's what we did. We took all the good people and we collected them in a canister for you. And all you got to do is just join our Discord and pop the top. So come see us over at Higher Score Gaming and you'll have access to all the fizzy carbonated friends you need. I don't know why I went with a soda analogy there, but I actually kind of like it and we'll probably do it again. Sorry, fair warning.
Pringles can. What flavor?
Were you going to start a fight this early?
Oh, man. I don't want this.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways, I am MKB, and I am neither Mad nor King nor Bob. So, discuss. Alchemy, what about you? Introduce yourself. Yeah.
I am Alchemy, and I enjoy a good cold coffee and warm hugs.
There you go.
And I am Donut Monkey, the Lord's favorite. It's biblical, okay? I promise.
Oh, gosh. I wish Wally was here because I used to always run that spits out coffee joke. You literally, I had to wipe that off my face. That was rude.
Oh, man.
Don't be so funny when you haven't warned me.
Sorry, man. Just a heads up, it might happen again.
Yeah, Heavenly Box and Chat says, it's biblical.
Yeah, don't look into it.
Golly, just don't research that. So we have tons of news tonight. We have a little bit of talk, excuse me, about upcoming titles. And we will do this new fancy thing where we actually go back and we talk about the titles that we were excited about last episode, right? And make sure that you actually get to find out if you haven't already spent well or wasted your money. We don't know yet. Right? We'll figure out if those titles are actually worth digging into and getting. So that'll be a segment of our episode as well. I'm going to slightly turn down our music because what I found here is that we are now listening to something called Drop for the Wait, which is funny because that's supposed to be Wait for the Drop. It's just a little play on words. But what I don't understand is why... Oh, I see. I need to go into just this album. Guys, I did an oops. I actually pulled up an album, and then I started streaming everything by that creator. So we're going to switch songs. How about that? So now we're back to chill. Okay. Anyway, do you guys want to dive right into the news? I'd like to welcome everybody to chat real quick. Go ahead and show yourself.
Yes.
Alchemy, take us through, bro.
Man, I'm going to throw some hearts up in chat real quick first.
Hearts! All right. Well, I don't know what we're doing tonight. I love it, though.
Yeah, we love everything.
Here for it.
So much fun. Well, what should we get into here? The old news era?
That's correct.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, let's go.
Well, news, you know, I really just wanted to start talking about Fortnite as fast as I could. Is that okay?
No. Oh, do you want to, really?
Well, yeah.
Go nuts. I don't care. I ain't here to judge you.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Fortnite is back, and it's better than ever.
Agreed.
But better than ever, maybe some others would disagree. I would highly agree. Because I switched from console to PC about a month ago, and my building equipment is just, I left it at home, I guess, because when I switch over to PC, mouse and keyboard all the way.
Yeah.
My building is
effects.
Yeah,
it's hard. But there's no building.
That's right. Well, they you know, launched the new season with no building, and just like yesterday, they allowed it to be two options. So you have
building
back after like a 2-week hiatus.
Okay.
And then you can still do no building, which I like.
Okay.
So it's great. It's hilarious, but it's also good.
Yeah. We have plenty of people that are anti-building in our fragile construct that is the HSG server. If you guys are hearing this and you're thinking to yourself, "I roll, I still don't want to do it," then shame on you for complaining in the first place, because your opportunity is now. And if you're still not playing Fortnite with us, I'm out of words. I'm out of words. Let's just cancel the show. Anyway, so Fortnite is better without the forts. Is that because your mouse and keyboard accuracy on your building selections and materials and shapes and sizes is just not where you'd want it to be?
For me, when it's building with the keyboard, you know, it's like the Q button, and then I have to scroll, and it's just a lot of weird nonsense. I'd rather just shoot everybody.
So I'm still
that's fair.
That's fair. I'm still trying to figure it out. So you were boss with a controller, and you just don't want to do that?
I just feel like it's just not right. When you have it's a PC, right. You got to commit, man. You got to go mouse and keyboard.
I agree.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Do you guys think there's ever going to be a mouse and a keyboard with force feedback?
Ooh.
Like Rumble?
I don't think I would like that, man.
You wouldn't
like
Rumble
keys? I don't think a mouse with Rumble would work.
I think they make one.
Do they?
I have huge studio monitors on my desk, and when no one's home, I turn the volume up as loud as I can.
That's feedback. That's fair.
Okay.
No, but I feel like if a mouse had the haptic feedback, it would like move your aim around a little bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
That would feel.
I could see that. I could see that. So, all right. Let's see here. Alchemy wants to give... The chat says... Josh Schultz in chat says, Alchemy wants to give everyone else a chance.
And, thank you for that.
BC, thanks for joining us for the intro. Apparently, he's got to go now. So, all right. Dinner waits for no man. All right. So, anyways. What else do we have in terms of news?
Man, so much.
Okay. do you want me to grab one out of the bag here?
All right.
All right. So, Donut, we'll come to you for the segment on the old OW here in a moment.
But sweet.
For now, let's talk about world news. So we got Russia, right? This is a very, very interesting segment in our news. And we already knew a little bit about this. Lawnmower simulation is going to apparently be discussed, according to Mrs. Donut Monkey. I guess Lawnmower Simulator is coming out, right? So was she playing a demo of Lawnmower Sim? Is that what that was?
Okay, I have no idea. All I know is that we tried to play it a couple of weeks ago. And by we, I mean she, because you won't catch me dead playing a Lawnmower Sim. But she tried to load it up, and the license was revoked. And it's out on Game Pass. So
really?
Yeah, so times are tough at our household right now.
Times are tough. Household,
Maybe they didn't pay John Deere.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, could be. Could be a thing. In terms of Russia, so what we basically got going on here, and I'm going to fix our little right pad here, because I feel like I'd like to see the rest of Donut's face. I apologize, boys and girls.
You're not missing much, my brother.
We're going to keep on resizing until everybody in the community goes dizzy. Let's go. All right. We're just going to play high-low with it and just have a ton of fun. Guys, are you ready to be mystified? All right, there we go, kind of. No, that's wrong, too. All right. So, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It sucks a lot. All right. What you don't see on the show, or what you don't hear in the podcast, is I'm sitting here trying to resize stuff right now like a savage, and it's just I'm hacking slash all over the place right now. Anyways, so what's going on with Russia is, as you know, Russia has decided to take up a military pursuit against the nation of the Ukraine. Obviously, I'm not going to we're not going to be a banging news source here in terms of like giving you headlines or anything that, you know, you would want to count on, like the CNNs and MSNBCs and Foxes and, you know, whatevers of the world that you listen to. Russia obviously did claim that it was trying to denazify the Ukraine. And the issue there is that the United States, among other nations, has chosen not to intervene militarily, but did respond with embargoes, right? Which are like restrictions of trade, things like that. What's the other word that I'm missing right now? They place tariffs. Yeah. But there's another word as well. I don't know why I'm missing it right now, but I know there's another word. Sanctions.
Sanctions. That's Thank it. You. Yeah. I was Thank just about you. To Google right. it right now.
Golly. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now. Economic sanctions in terms of, like, you know, not allowing folks residing in Russia to transact certain ways or participate in the global economy. So what this actually does is it reaches into gaming and you get messages all over the internet. So you see review videos for Gran Turismo 7, a new title on PlayStation 5. We'll talk about that just a little bit down the line. You see people in Russia on the YouTube video saying, hey, this looks like a great game. I bought it. Can I have it, please? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they haven't been allowed to use the game they paid for. And then you look at CD Projekt Red is a good example of a developer who actually put out a public statement on March 3rd. CD Projekt Red stated, Instagram, I believe, in the form of like a narrative image. It said, until further notice, the CD Projekt Red group has made the decision to halt all sales of our games to Russia and Belarus. But in addition to that, I believe they also, not only is it the physical copies, it's digital copies. It's anything that's subscription based. You're no longer able to participate. And of course, this is among, like, you know, the Apples of the world and Nike and, you know, other things that are, you know, like entertainment companies and things that are just no longer going to abide. Obviously, Germany stopped a pipeline, which is much more important than Gran Turismo 7. But we're here to talk about gaming. So this pertains. So that's what we did. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Donut, you want to talk to us about Overwatch?
I would love to, y'all. Yay. It has been a really long-awaited thing, but we're finally getting an Overwatch 2 alpha. So I've been playing since launch. I know a lot of our community has. It's kind of been like a cornerstone for us, you know, as far as community goes. So it's really exciting. So some of the cool things that Overwatch 2, the alpha, is going to come with. First of all, you need to know that it's for PC only. You can still opt in right now, but there's no guarantee that you're going to get it.
Yeah.
It's going to have one new character, who is Sojourn. I've looked at some gameplay, and it looks like that's going to be really cool. A new mode called Push, where teams battle to take control of a robot that begins in a central location. And they just kind of push it towards the enemy base. So it's almost going to be like the escort, but I guess it's going to have some twists. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
There's going to be a few new maps. One, you've got Circuit Royal. It's going to be an escort map. Midtown, which is going to have a couple different modes. Mm-hmm. You've got New Queen Street, which is going to be a push, and Colossio, which is also going to be a push.
Okay.
I think they actually mentioned where these maps are based on. So I think one's like the U.S., one's going to be like France. So it'll be cool to see how all that plays out.
Okay.
And then the most important thing, some of the bigger changes that are coming to Overwatch 2, if you haven't been following it, there's some big hero works, reworks, like Doomfist, who is now going to be a tank. There's now going to be five on each team instead of six, which will totally change the game because Overwatch has always been that 6v6 team shooter kind of deal. So, yeah. I think it's
Paladins.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's all I played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. And Paladins was a lot of fun too. But yeah, I think a lot of us are really excited to get in on Overwatch 2. And
Here's what happened with Overwatch, right? Correct me if I'm wrong on this. So there was the tournament in Shanghai that went down.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Shanghai, it was Hong Kong. Sorry. There was a a big Blizzard tournament in Hong Kong, and it was an Overwatch tournament, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a rebellion occurring at the time. Mm-hmm. It was like an invasion. Really, it was an occupation of Hong Kong by China, right? And the word was given not to make any sort of reference to that if you're being interviewed by the media during that tournament. And I guess the winner won the Overwatch tournament immediately like threw on a gas mask, made some sort of like Viva la Revolucion type statement. And Blizzard unflinchingly stripped his prize money. And as I understand, did not give it to second place. They just took the money back. So it turned a lot of people off. I remember our community actually was playing Overwatch pretty obsessively. We had a lot of like 12, 15, 18 person parties in Xbox going on, all centered around Overwatch. As soon as this happened, that all stopped. And I think we took some social, like, sort of like boycotting steps, I guess you could say. That said, they have.
And I think the big problem is that it's not like it's gotten any better for Blizzard since that point. You know, it's like every time we turn around, like, once they finally got, like, the community on their side, like, something massive explodes. You know, like all the allegations that went on with Jesse McCree and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, that's true, too, because he changed names. But didn't we have some news with Microsoft? Actually, what happened with Blizzard? They were acquired. Yeah, we talked about it last episode. Yeah.
So they were Blizzard's with Microsoft now. Right. If you've been living under a rock.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So at this point, they have also come out and issued an apology. You know. So this is before the Microsoft acquisition. I think it's far enough away that we can get back into it. That's just me personally.
Oh, yeah.
One piece of news that I want to just tap on real quick, or do you have any more on Overwatch, Donut?
That's all I've got.
Okay,
cool. We should start, if it comes out, you guys get it, and I get it, we need to get those tournaments back, right?
Yeah, fun. Yeah, I need to see my people because enjoying each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to do that.
For sure, yeah. And I'll even say this on the podcast. I know things have been a little quiet lately. We have been trying to get plans and ideas and thoughts for events lined up, but I will say that like we've had a couple of our admins like go through some life seasons. And it just hasn't really felt right to lean into those who are still serving and like pressure them doubly. So we've just been kind of taking it easy for a season.
Yeah.
We do believe that as the podcast is firing back up here, that we're going to ramp back up our membership pretty darn quick. Actually, this is how we grew to 500 in our Discord almost overnight, was through the show. So the show being back, I have a lot of confidence that we're going to find new folks. And we did have a kind of a quiet season for a little while. For that, I'll apologize because, you know, I honestly had a lot to do with that. You know, I had a lot of stress and seasons in life and things that were going on. Mad Queen Kate, my wife, as you know, is now working and was not working before. It has definitely taken some of the support in our household away. So it's been hard to double down and be one of everything for everybody. But I think we've got a good team here and we've kind of always wanted to do this together. So I'm glad we are. And boom, skadoosh, bang. That's all I got to say about that. Real quick, touch
besties
point.
For life.
For life. So real quick, let's touch on this because it may not even be relevant, but I want to be able to cross it off on our notes here. Elden Ring players were apparently buying millions of runes on eBay. The way this was working is that your runes themselves don't really stay with you when you die. And I guess you can trade runes to other players. But there are some runes that actually in Elden Ring do survive your death, and those are like these little seeds, like these golden runes that you pick up that contain like 200 runes each or something like that.
It's like a classic MMO item swap.
Yeah. From Software is really notorious for punishing you stupid hard when you die. So apparently you use your runes that you collect to pay for leveling up, and when you die, you lose your runes. Period. They're gone. So all the progress you were going to make toward a level, per se, is gone, like the second you die. You have to then go back to your dead body and find your runes if you want to pick them back up again. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. That's how their system works. So I guess people that were really, really savants at the game were collecting all these runes and basically selling you for cash a fully leveled up character, right? Because you could just buy millions of runes and have all the stats that you wanted. So people are paying for that. I don't get it. It's mostly single player.
What's your build in Elden Ring, Bobby?
Me? I'm a what's called a confessor. Which is kind of like the holy, slightly magic, slightly, they operate in what's called miracles. And I actually, there's a stream that we did, and I know it's probably expired off the Twitch channel now. Hey, Chob Bacon Double says, hello, chat. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Chob Bacon?
There was a stream that we did that was hilarious after one of our story modes where I tried to play Elden Ring for the first time. Which, just picture that. I'm not even good at games. I have a lot of practice in. And Elden Ring is kind of hard. I don't know if you've heard about it. So, I didn't know how to use my class. I didn't know how to save. I didn't know how to level up. I didn't know how to heal. It was a mess. Since then, I've actually gone through and beaten the boss that 30% of players don't make it past.
Look at you.
So, I am there. Now, I'm in the greater population of people that will continue to grind it out. But it was Margit the Fell Omen, I believe was his name. What a dark, dark name. But
you said Margaret?
Margit. No. I know.
The dark Margaret.
Dark Margaret. Dargrit. Yes, it's Margaret. She wants to talk to your supervisor. And she has a basket full of returns ready to go. And you have to process all of her returns in 30 seconds or she knocks your head off. So it's Margaret.
She leaves you a Yelp review that will just haunt you for the rest of your life.
That is Margaret, the ultimate nemesis. Can't dodge that attack. So let's see here.
If you're a vagabond class, that she's a little easier to deal with, though, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah. So that's cool. That's it. But anyway, so I'm enjoying Elden Ring now. But we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Well, I will say, as far as the currency trading goes, like that is not a new concept when it comes to MMOs, as I'm sure you guys are well aware. So,
not
like
at all,
massive problem in World of Warcraft, massive problem in RuneScape.
Yeah,
anything that you can trade on, like people are trying to make it, like make a quick buck on. You know,
dude, yeah. Come on. I feel like RuneScape and WoW and things that the people that played those games, that I believe is where NFT came from. Yeah. I have a funny feeling.
I agree. Because,
you know, it's the same people that are like, you know what? I missed the train last time. This time I'm getting on it. Here's a cat GIF, $80,000. You know, toot, so toot. Yeah, toot, toot.
That's good. That makes sense.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Anyways, golly, guys, we still have a few news points left. Who wants to grab one of these out of the bag here?
Oh, man.
Oh, I got one. I got one real hard. So
okay.
Now that Borderlands 3 is now irrelevant, we can all play together.
Hey!
So that's great. Yeah, now that it's been overshadowed completely by Tiny Tina's, which we will also be talking about very soon, it wants to join back in the conversation, and we're not going to let it.
Right. There you go. Fair enough. All right.
I'll just hit quickly. Warzone, you know, has been a speculation of some controversy in the ways of like the whole change of the map going to Caldera. You guys heard my thoughts of that in the last episode. Not a fan. However, there has been an upgrade on season 2, Reloaded, Rebirth Island, Reinforced. It's really cool. There's a lot of nice upgrades. The Rebirth Island got a ton of change that is cosmetic in nature, but also very helpful to the players and like being tactical with your player team, and it's just a lot of fun. So if you haven't checked it out already, you should.
Yeah,
and you won't regret it.
Sounds good. Real quick encouragement to chat. You're here. I hope you guys are having a good time. Your friends might too. So invite somebody. Have them come.
Press
join
that share
show.
Button. Yeah, I dare
press
you.
Press the share button. Let's go. All right. So one of our bits that actually made the top of the show here was Epic Games is in everything, I think is what we said. We happen in our journey to stumble across two separate instances of stuff that Epic has gotten its fingers into, completely unrelated and on two separate websites about at the same time. So apparently they got a lot of hustle going on. We always know that Epic is involved in everything. This is how they've had to create, a multiverse, way before Marvel did, right? Just to have room to smash all of the intellectual property they got their hands on. This is why you see, you know, somebody that's literally got a waffle for a head fighting against Spider-Man. You know, this, they've always been able to pull everything together. Now, in this case, they are moving way beyond other kinds of media at this point. So they have gotten their fingers in a couple things. Hummer. This is Humvee, the vehicle that became too big to still be in style, if you remember the Hummer. The Hummer is now coming out with an electric vehicle. Actually, Chaw Bacon's in chat. We were talking about this. Apparently, it's on Chaw Bacon's bucket list for vehicles he wants to own. But we were looking at it together. And it has a 13.4-inch screen. It's an infotainment system inside the vehicle, which is no surprise. That's pretty normal, right? He says only $110,000, correct. It can actually drive sideways. It can turn its wheels and crab to the left or right. It's really weird.
Are you being serious?
I'm totally serious, but it's only $110,000, so that's a steal. It's a steal for a vehicle that can drive sideways.
To be able to go left and right, yeah, that's just...
I mean, you got to pay twice as much for twice as many directions. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's a...
So, you're getting twice the car here. But parallel parking is going to be real easy, right? That said, this is not a car.
I had to actually start that a long time ago. I just want to say quick.
Yeah. This is not an automotive podcast. This is a gaming podcast. Right. So how does it relate, MKB? I'm glad you asked. So here's how it does. Epic Games has actually been hired to design the car's infotainment system.
Crazy.
So
man.
It could literally look like Fortnite in
Battle Bus.
So my question Battle Bus is
nice.
Why though? Why Epic Games? Like there are so many other like creators and I just would they would not even be on my radar if I was looking for someone to make like an infotainment system for a Hummer.
Correct.
Well, like Sony already makes, you know, audio stuff for cars, so like why wouldn't they be involved some way? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I have no idea. I have no idea. It's obviously there's gonna be something fun about it. I have no idea. That said though, within almost the same breath, I got an email because you guys know I have a little like pocket recording artist thing that I do. It's like a little side hustle. And
kind of a big deal.
Kind of a small deal. So Epic Games has also just purchased Bandcamp, which is a streaming service and a sales tool that's used for independent artists to sell their material, stream their material outside of like the big ones, like the Apple Musics and the Spotify's of the world. So it's like a dedicated kind of thing. It's a place where a lot of artists like sell tickets for events. They might they sell like vinyl records and, you know, cassette tapes and CDs and, you know, merch and all sorts of stuff. So
you know what they'll do?
Epic
they'll probably
Games.
Have Fortnite. They're going to have people who make their own like worlds and creative. They're going to have like a Bandcamp world, I bet, where you can like make your Fortnite world and then have your music in there for people to buy.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
See it happening.
Who knows?
I guess my question would be, do you think the two are related?
What do you mean?
Do you think Epic's going to turn into like this massive just media conglomerate?
I mean, if their ability to obtain intellectual property licenses from some of the gaming characters that they've got is any indication, I would say they've obviously demonstrated that they have the ability to negotiate licenses with the best of them.
Right.
Who knows how that's actually going to shake out? I don't know.
We'll see.
But
it's interesting.
I believe they're going to be using some of the new kind of connection there to try to actually help some of the artists that are present on Bandcamp actually find their way into some other formats, which I think is super cool.
Very nice. Yeah, good for them.
Which is a nice move for them, you know, in terms of supporting indie music, because most of what's in, like, if you jump in a car in Fortnite right now and you turn on the radio, you're going to hear, like, Sia and, you know, Dua Lipa and, you know, The Weeknd and stuff like that. So,
not indie.
Correct, correct. So we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. That'd be kind of cool. Does anybody want to grab our last news point, or would you like me to?
I am happy to take this one.
Do it.
So, PlayStation Plus is currently undergoing some changes.
They have...
As of right now, they have promised no price increases and they will not be removing any benefits. So right now the base sub is going to be $10, which is going to have no change at all. So you're still going to have your basic like online playable capabilities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But now there's going to be a new tier, which is very resembling of what Microsoft does with Game Pass. So for $15, you're going to be able to play 400 games on demand, just like Game Pass.
Yeah.
First off, before I go any further, how do you guys feel about that? Do you think this is a good move on Sony's part? Or do you think they're grasping at straws because this is already kind of Microsoft's forte?
What's interesting, if I understand correctly, I think PlayStation did this first, and then Microsoft jumped on and did it way better.
So what was PlayStation's original?
PlayStation originally had a, like, a, they had PlayStation Plus existed before Xbox Live Gold, you know, and that kind of stuff. So there were, you could download titles, and every once in a while they'd throw you like a whatever. And the reason I know this is because it goes all the way back to, like, if you think about the consoles that it supported, it's kind of self-evident, because they used to be, they used to do titles for PlayStation 4 and for Vita, you know, so that should give you an idea of how far reaching backward it was. They were actually putting Vita titles on the Plus downloadability option. So they were doing it first. Microsoft then jumped on and created Game Pass, and then made a hybrid Game Pass, Game Pass Ultimate, right? And then did the superior move of saying, for $1, you can convert whatever your existing Game Pass membership is to Game Pass Ultimate, and we'll let it go out to 3 years. So if you had paid like $50 for 3 years worth of regular, boring old Game Pass, right? You paid one more buck and you got like $300 worth of membership or some crazy number like that for like the next 3 years. So mine just ran out, and now they're enjoying $20 a month of my money. But for me, it's like, take my money, because I think it's a great service. You know what I mean? The trick with this, right, is they are trying to... Yeah, so you paused in the middle, right? So $15 adds 400 games.
Right.
Tell me, dear donut, if I paid an additional $3, what could I have if I had just a little more money to give you?
If you've got three more bucks, hey, I'll tell you what they'll give you.
I have $3.
Is, yeah, cool, man. 340 additional PS2, PS3, and PSP games.
Okay. I'm not interested.
That's a lot for $3.
I'm not interested.
So you mean to tell me that you didn't play any PS2 games that you'd love to go back and play?
Interestingly, this is one of our mailbag questions that was asked by one Bellicosity Kit this episode. So my short answer is no.
Okay.
Because I have seen the power of nostalgia goggles, and they have a ton of power. And I don't like how powerful they are. I don't trust them. So that's just fair. Me.
And that wraps up all of our PlayStation news, by the way.
Now, there are people who will love the idea of going back and playing PS2, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation portable games. It's just not me.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, there are... Now, Here's my other argument, though, right? Most of those games that are worth their salt have been ported already.
Right.
Like, the ones that were noteworthy already got a port. So what are we going to get exactly? Is it going to be like Star Wars Battlefront 1? You know, is that the kind of stuff?
I'm going to be honest. So I understand what you're saying with nostalgia goggles and all that, but if you really think about, like, couch co-op, right? So that's not something that you see anymore. So there was so much couch co-op that happened with PS2 and PS3, and I'm hoping that that's one of the things that we can take back from this extra $3 a month.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, if you're not worried about graphics, then here's your good moment. Inbound. So real quick community update. We are still going to Music City. HSG is having a meetup in Nashville on May 18th through the 22nd. You'd have to join our Discord to get an update for that. So the best way to do that is to go to higherscoregaming.com. There's a button on the front page that says click here to join our Discord. If you do that, I have a prediction that you will get a invite to a Discord. When you follow that invitation, you will find your way into our Discord. And poof, just like that, like a miracle. Following instructions leads to results. So, that said, the Discord is where we're actually gathering. We're talking about this stuff. As it gets closer, we're going to talk about it more. I know some of you guys in chat are actually going to be going. BC just sounded off. Welcome back, BC. Woo. I hope you had a delicious...
Oh, welcome back.
Delicious dinner, my man. and that said, that trip is going on, and we will have some really cool... times together. We don't have a full plan, but we, you know, do have a couple things that we're going to do out in and about town that are going to be awesome. So that's our community news. Let's see. We don't really have a main segment per se, but we do want to talk about titles, right? Just yes, a little sir. Bit. So last episode, which was, golly, so almost 2 months ago, we talked about some upcoming things, and most of those things are now having come and gone things, right? So we have an opportunity to help you, because, you know, if 2 months ago you were thinking, golly, there are 38 games coming out, that would be accurate. And mm-hmm. I can't afford all those. That might also be accurate. It was a ton of money. So that said, if you still have your eye on a couple titles and... you want to get a quick sense of whether or not they're worth getting, I will tell you, I wasted my money, so you don't have to. So that said, we are going to rate these games that were released since our last announcement on a basis of how many times was it in my disk drive.
So the most accurate representation of how good a game is.
That is absolutely true. If a game got trounced... we're playing King of the Hill with these, right? So, and when I say in my disk drive, like, even if it's digital, right? Like, is that the game that if, you know, they got, that took out the one, you know, the last one?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Let's go through these real quick. And we'll talk to you, Donut and Alchemy. You can sound off on these too, right? So,
sure.
Rambo Six Extraction came out January 20th. Loses. Okay, well. All right, so there's that. But it came out January 20th. How many times did you play the game?
Twice.
Oh, you guys are twinning.
But it was only because, I had a couple people that wanted to play it with me. But, like, we all agreed at the end of the second playthrough that it was just not even worth having allocated, like, disk space for. It was so bad.
Yeah. I had a one next to mine. So... okay. That's unfortunate.
I had tried it by myself, and then I tried it with my wife, and then I think one more person that same time didn't like it. I don't think we got past the first level.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be one Hashiru in our community that's going to be frustrated with me on this next one, but it is what it is, and I cannot tell a lie. So Pokemon Legends Arceus came out January 28th on Switch. How many times did I play it? I played it one time.
Zero.
Zilch.
Zero for you guys. I immediately got the vibe that it was kind of like, and I hate to say this, I'm going to kind of give another one away at the exact same time, but did my mouse just die? It totally did. Guys, I have no mouse. This is a bad time to not have a mouse.
Alt tab.
Well, I can't do that because I have a Mac, so there's that. I know. I shouldn't even be doing this show if I have a Mac.
I wasn't going to say it.
But the good news is my cursor was actually on that screen, so we can finish the show.
Nice.
I just can't mute my mic when I cough. Sorry about that. But Pokemon Legends Arceus, I played once, and it seemed to be a lot like the Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origins, in that it tried to tie together, like, okay, this is how Pokemon existed, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was like all about like your technique in throwing the ball, and I just immediately lost interest. I mean, it lasted me maybe, I don't know, 15 minutes, and I was like, this is boring.
15 minutes?
There was no dialogue. It was all written.
Oh gosh.
I did not like that. I seem to recall Sword and Shield having voiceover. Am I wrong on that? I feel like it did.
I think maybe some of the cutscenes did, but I know most of it was just okay. Text dialogue.
Okay, I just feel like I remember Chairman Rose's voice for some reason. Not to start the war, Josh Schultz says, but I prefer the fact that the Apple button is both Control and Alt at the same time. Windows needed to separate them. Nice, okay. BC said, I loved it. He was talking about Arceus. So, different strokes, but in terms of our ranking system, how many times is it in my disk drive? One time.
Wap, wap, all right. Wap.
Horizon Forbidden West came out February 18th. It was available for PS4 and PS5. I apologize for telling you guys it was PlayStation 5 only last time. This has been in my disk drive 3 times. And nice. You guys have to know, like my dearest friends know, that I'm way hard to please. Like I get so bored with games so fast, like insta-bored. So it has to be really killer for me, at least. It has to really connect with me. So Horizon Forbidden West was in there 3 times, and it stayed there a really, really long time.
Nice.
So, what about it did you connect with?
I loved the aesthetic. The art style blew my brain. Because it's this sort of, like the last game as well did, but like the action is really good. The character feels really hefty and chunky. Like you're actually doing something meaningful when you do something.
Right.
And there's a really good sort of like stop time, like bullet time sort of like mechanic in the game that I enjoy. I enjoy bullet time so much. That's like my favorite thing. And then of course there's bright colors, tribal design combined with robotics and some post-apocalyptic plan to try to resave the world again. It just all matches up really good. And then the plot twists were nuts. Nuts.
Ooh.
So really, really good storytelling. The crafting system was meh to me. But really it gave you a lot of there was a lot of chase involved. Like you could hunt in that game for quite some time and it would keep you busy. So
did you played the first one, I'm assuming, right?
I played some of the first one, nowhere near to the degree that I played this one.
Okay. Now did it feel like more of the same, like it should have been an expansion, or did it feel like an actual new game?
That's an interesting question. So I think to me it feels more, this is going to be an unpopular opinion, I feel like, but I do think that it kind of felt like an expansion, but it was so large and the amount of effort was so significant that I think it earns its, you know, second title.
Okay.
And just because, yeah, I mean, you look at, let's go down to our next bullet point, right? Destiny 2.
Okay.
You could call Destiny 2 an expansion to Destiny 1.
And you should. A very expensive Destiny 2 expansion, or Destiny 1 expansion.
That is correct. Okay, well, fair enough. Never mind. By the way, I played that twice. So that's our number on that one. How many times has it been?
And it was really good. Destiny 2's expansion, if that's what we're talking about, was mucho bueno.
Guys, how about this? I'm going to trust you guys to just carry the next couple forward, and I'm going to go get some batteries.
Cool. Hey. So, you go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think Destiny 2 is a great game. Just to piggyback off what you guys are saying, and the Witch Queen looks amazing. I got to admit, though, I have not played it, but I have a lot of people play it on Twitch. Some other streamers that are kind of more well known. I think I've caught you guys playing it, just talked to you guys about it. So it looks like a really cool addition to the game. But I enjoy playing Destiny 2 in general. I just need to get back to it. It's been a minute.
It's a really high intensity thing. It's not something that you just casually hop in. Like when you play Destiny. Well, when you play Destiny, Destiny has to be the only thing that you play for like the next 3 months, or you're just wasting your money on that expansion and season pass. You know,
that's not me. I'm hooked on Warzone.
Sorry. Yeah, I respect that.
Hooked on Warzone worked for me.
And Elden Ring is the next game I want to try out as well.
Nice.
So I would rate. I don't know. I would probably rate Elden Ring once I get it. I really feel like what I've watched Bobby play, what I've watched other people play, I could probably get in that for a whole 2 months, man.
What, Elden Ring?
Yeah, that looks really good.
Yeah. Oh, because you're a Skyrim guy.
Yeah, I was really drilling over that game. I was really thinking like about the classes and what kind of build I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I'm gonna buy it.
Okay. Okay, you should get Tiny Tina's Wonderlands instead, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah,
Look, we got to save that. That's a whole can of worms.
Yeah. Okay.
Slow your roll, Bobby. Mac and Bob.
Okay, so Elden Ring, played it twice for a really long time, ground my face off. We already talked about that. Beat the first big world boss, moving on to the next stuff, and just needed a breath of fresh air because I can only handle so much dark gothic before I need to move on to something that's like literally got squiggly cartoon lines on it. Like I just can't with the deep dark dungeon depths for like days and days and days and days and days. It actually puts me in a foul mood. So I like to balance my gaming out with like, you know, I'll go straight from that to like Kirby. You know what I mean? So just how it is. I like to keep my stuff light these days. Life is too heavy. So I like to do stuff like play Sackboy. Because it's fantastic.
You've spoken very highly of Sackboy.
Sackboy wins my award for the most fun of all fun.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty good. No. It's pretty good.
Elden Ring, how many times was it in your,
twice,
in your console?
Twice. But again, very much like Forbidden West, it was in there for a really long time. And it will be back. I will probably go back to Forbidden West before I go back to Elden Ring. But both of them are pretty worthy. Pretty good stuff.
Very nice.
BC in chat says, I took a break from Destiny for about a week to play Genshin and went back.
Who are you?
I don't even know you right now. So, Gran Turismo 7. I do have the only experience of the folks on our show with this game because I'm the PlayStationer. And I wish I loved it. There's a lot about it that I do love. It was in my drive once, and for two reasons, one lazy and one serious, it hasn't gone back. One, I got the collector's edition. I didn't want to damage the packaging, so I just left it in there. But the real reason is that the economy is jacknapped by Polyphony on that game. So their first patch that they went through was to lower the race payouts for all racers. And if you do some hot math and you want to buy a realistically priced collector car that's $18 million, you will grind for that one car for 40 hours. Yeah.
What?
One car, 40 hours. So, that said, they are getting a lot of flack from fans right now because the payouts are nowhere near. They have real world car prices that are equivalent to kind of like US dollars. And then the race payouts are nowhere near world equivalent race payouts. So people are grinding, but here's how they fixed it. You can actually spend money on credits.
Yeah.
So you can either grind 40 hours or you can pay $1 an hour, pretty much comparatively, to buy you know, what is it, $18 million worth of credits is going to run you probably about 40 actual bucks. So basically,
on top of your already $60 right. game.
So here's what they're actually saying. What they're saying to the gamer is that your time is actually worth about $1 an hour to us. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of takes you and says, you know, well, if you want to buy your way out of this problem, just, you know, basically buy an entirely new game's worth of credits to get that one car you want. It's absurd. It's absurd. Wow. And the garage is actually smaller than any of the other GT titles of, I would say, of late, but there haven't been any. But it's like 250 cars or something like that. It's way short.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 400, somewhere between 250 and 400. I can't remember, but I remember GT6 had like 700, 800, something like that. So I'm assuming there's DLC on the way and blah, 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 and they're going to sell you that too. I don't like it. I think the economy is completely abusive in this game. A lot of other people are quitting too. So that's my take. Wow. I wish I had a better opinion. I love Gran Turismo. My best memories are Gran Turismo. Took, what was it? There was a Series S Plus license, I believe, that was available in Gran Turismo A-Spec, Gran Turismo 4. And my brother and I sat up until midnight. Way past midnight, actually, driving Laguna Seca in a Dodge Viper that was stock and having to beat a certain time. And that time, you would actually disqualify yourself if at any point two wheels of your car were out of bounds at the same time. So if you went off the track, you were out. And Laguna Seca is known for having that big corkscrew turn, you know? So we played and played and played and played and played, and finally we hit the gold medal on that. And it was like a throw the controller, jump up, high five moment, because we worked so hard. And I would say that moment is actually when I became a race gamer. You know what I mean? And like, still racing is still my primary now. You know what I mean? And like, that's my main, you know, but that moment from Gran Turismo is what made me want that, because it was like, man, that feeling of triumph was incredible, you know, but this game has not bottled that. It has the vibe, but it forces you through so much stuff.
That would have been a good mailbag question.
Yeah. Yeah. Could have been. I told you anyway. So let's zip through these so we can actually get to the mailbag, because we've been at this for, golly, what does the clock say? Clock says an hour. So Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. Pretty cool.
It looks good.
Yeah. It's you have to be willing to say, I do not care about story at all.
Okay.
And if you don't care about story and you just want some thinly veiled construct to make you have a game, this game is for you. The action is fantastic. Neo is basically been reskinned as Final Fantasy. So tons of loot, tons of classes, tons of upgrades. Hey, Wally, welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to chat. So Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin has been in my drive one time. So it gets a one. But at the same time, I really, really like it. And if I want to do something stupid and disconnected and just game and not worry about progressing my blah, 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 or figuring out what the plot twist is, or that's the game I'm going to put in. It's going to be pure action. It's going to be dumb. It's going to look fine. But it's got all the little Final Fantasy doodads on it that I want.
That's cool.
You know? So it's an interesting game. Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Has anybody gotten this one yet? Because I have not.
No.
So this has been in my drive zero times.
I am going to play it. I'm going to get it this coming weekend.
Okay.
But what it is, I'm not buying it. My local library actually has Switch games, other games.
Nice.
That's OG, man.
For however long you want, because they don't even have fees.
Oh, golly. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
That is wild. So you have a Gamefly subscription. You remember Gamefly?
I did Gamefly for a long time.
Yeah. So Oakley has that for free from his library.
Good for you.
It's really something. Cool, man. I think that's neat, actually. I haven't done it just because March, so much money, right? Guys, I'm going to try something here. I'm going to run a big risk. I'm going to take my phone here, which seems to be also picking up Discord, and I'm going to hang up here. So if it drops me, I'll be right back.
Bueno.
Am I still here?
We're good.
Fantastic. My phone was dying. Anyways, let me put you guys back. Hang on. Okay, cool. Anyways, where were we? Kirby.
March has been expensive.
March has been mad expensive. Not the least of which was $100 spent on this little game called Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Which, if you haven't played it, is a total flop.
It's a disaster. Of awesomeness.
Of awesomeness. Literally. Okay. Everyone that I've talked to about Tiny Tina's, and I hate to railroad this, but
oh no, take it.
I literally tell them it is the best game that I've played probably in the last 10 years. And I'm not even saying a game to come out in the last 10 years. Literally, in the last 10 years, I probably have not played a better, more well-rounded, like funny, just great game.
Wow. Yeah. I haven't even hit in game yet, and I've probably got 30 hours on it, and wow. I probably still have 15 hours to go before I get to end game. And as I understand the end game, which I won't even name, we're not going to spoil anything here. As I understand, the end game has been described as being one of the most engaging, fun, build your own experience type end games. Period. Yep. So if you picture Tiny Tina's Wonderlands as the spiritual successor to what was Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep, was that what it was called?
Yes.
The expansion from
and
Borderlands.
Number two.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that was made into a standalone game. It was like a little short, right? People loved it so much that Gearbox actually came out with this entire title, which is kind of technically like Borderlands 4. In a way.
Right.
Because it's 100%. so big. But Borderlands 3 just happened. So, like, it was that anticipated that a lot of people threw down. I don't know anybody, actually. Hardly. I know a couple. But most of the folks that I've talked to that wanted this game paid $100 for it without seeing a review, without thinking about it, just did. And they just got the, what's called the Chaotic Great Edition. Which I think is fantastic.
Hilarious.
Yes, it's rated T for Tina, which is... Tina will tell you that herself in the game. It's very self-referential. I think it's hilarious. I love breaking the fourth wall, and this is like... It's like clean Deadpool is what it is. You know what I mean?
That's a great way to describe
that. Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting. Because the game is actually... The reason that they were able to get down from Infermature down to T for Teen... is because they're sticking properly to the mythos. And what I mean when I say that is they're actually filtering it through the mind of a teenager. She's the one telling the story, so she's not going to use that kind of language. She's not going to have those kinds of, like, risque, you know, consensual encounters with males. You know what I mean? Like, she's not going to have those things to include in the story because that's not known to her. She's young. She's a teen. So she's delivering this in a very teenage way. And it's
just
awesome. The voice
so
cast.
So good.
The voice cast. Will Arnett is the villain. That is, if you guys don't remember, that is Lego Batman from the Lego movies. Awesome. You know, so that is the Dragon Lord. I'm not spoiling anything. That happens in like the first 12 seconds.
Yeah, you'll know real quick.
Wanda Sykes is one of your companions. Which is hilarious. And then Andy Samberg. Yes, yeah. Plays a guy named Valentine and is also hilarious. And I swear,
hilarious.
I know this is not true, but they had done such a good job of cloning Mandy Patinkin, if you know who that is.
I know the name. Who is that?
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
So there's a character in there that I don't think they actually got him because I searched it on IMDb. I was so excited because I thought it was him. It was done so well that it still gives me Princess Bride vibes when I play it. But I can't.
They got his brother.
I can't tell you anything about it. Yes, Mindy Patinkin. Yes, Mindy and Mandy. So, anyway, Wally says, OMG, one of my favorite movies. I'm assuming she's talking about Lego Batman. So
I would assume the princess, other one.
So, the Lego movie? Princess Bride. No, it was before. It was before I think she said that. So, Donut, what
now
do
we
you,
got an ambiguous yep.
Yeah. she just said yep.
Oh, no, she said Batman. Okay.
Okay. Donut, what was your favorite part of Tiny Tina so far?
No spoilers. Okay, so I'm still so far like behind everyone else that's played. So like even you said you're what level?
Like 33, 34.
Okay.
Someone there.
I'm level 13.
Okay.
But let me tell you, the thing I love about it is that when you think you've got a handle on what's going on in the story, Tiny Tina takes it and there's a massive plot twist. The spells, I think, are just so well done. It doesn't feel at all like an afterthought, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in all of the other Borderlands, if you've ever played one, the grenades were very much like, oh, I don't want to reload, I'll just throw this. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But in Tiny Tina's, it's literally like you could probably, if you play the right class, you could probably go the entire game without shooting a gun. You know?
Yeah.
Just by using your spells, so.
It is very possible to do that. I enjoy it. I actually opt to go with spells that have like multiple casts because like I just want to keep flinging. Like it's so much fun. So good. So I think for me of everything that has happened over the last couple months, as much as I mean, apparently Forbidden West is a contender for Game of the Year. So is Elden Ring. To me, I feel like even Elden Ring is not anywhere near as much fun to me as Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. Now I can see how one will get more invested in Elden Ring, but
sure.
I just love the happiness it gives me, man. It's just a jolly blow stuff up, hear some jokes and laugh about them. Good time.
As far as smiles per gallon go, it gets more than anything. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's probably the best $60 I've ever spent.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah. So let's move on real quick to upcomings, and then we got to get into the mailbag. Guys, we got a book.
Yes.
So upcoming, yes, MLB The Show 22, April 5th. That's all I know. It's the sequel to MLB The Show 21, which I think that has something
to
do with
it. It's going to be baseball.
Kidding. but April 29th, holy cow. Is it April 29th or is it June?
I copied and pasted, so I'm going to say April.
Okay, well, let's say April 29th.
Let me find out. Before we say anything.
I feel
anything.
Like something else is happening in June, though, that's also excited, that I'm also excited about. Anyway, Nintendo Switch Sports, guys. Wii Sports Resort has such a soft spot in my heart. Alchemy, what about you? You're a Wii guy, like an ex-Wii guy. Did you ever play Wii Sports?
Yeah, it's like right behind me. I got the Wii that you could even plug the GameCube, controllers in the good one.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've got all the rackets, the baseball, the nunchucks, everything you need, man.
Yeah.
To have a Olympics at your house.
You sound like a fun dealer. You're like, I got the nunchucks, I got the controllers, I got everything you'll need, man. Oh my goodness. All right, that's awesome. I'm here to deal you some fun. All right. So Nintendo Switch Sports looks really awesome. I saw in screen grabs, I saw volleyball, actually, which I was kind of excited about. That seemed interesting. I hope they bring back Frisbee golf. I know that sounds dorky as all get out, but it was my favorite.
I didn't know they had Frisbee golf.
It's in Wii Sports Resort, not Wii Sports.
Changes everything.
Really relax.
Totally different. Now, both of them. Now, interestingly, both Wii Sports and Resort both had bowling.
Well, that's because, and I think I said this earlier, because bowling was the best one they came out with, and I am prepared to throw hands when that comes out. So,
okay.
If anybody wants to lose,
now,
you've
I
got
will
my
say
gamer
this:
tag.
This game will exist by the time we go to Nashville. So there will be video of Donut losing hard to me. So
Where are you going to get that video? you're gonna have to make that.
You're gonna have to Photoshop that one. All right. Tell us about the Immortal Diablo.
Yes. In other news, you all have phones, so
yes,
it's finally coming out. We have been talking about this since BlizzCon, like 2020. Mm-hmm. But I guess with everything that's been going on with Blizzard, it's kind of taken a backseat. But Diablo Immortal, the mobile phone full Diablo game.
I prefer it to be called Diablo Immortal, like you said. I think that's good. It's good.
Yeah, I think that's fitting. Yeah. It comes out on June 30th.
Okay.
We've been waiting for a release date five ever, so we finally got it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
It'll be okay.
Yeah, they found the audience found out it was mobile, went boo, and then Blizzard literally responded with, "You guys have phones, don't you?" So really in touch, guys. So
super in touch.
We have a mailbag and we are going to fly right in. I know we are cranking on time here.
Yes.
Yes. So let's
hop right in then.
Yeah.
So 26,000 units of Beast asks, is Sony's acquisition of Bungie a threat to Microsoft? And then part two of this question is, in your opinion, it is big as Microsoft acquiring Activision Blizzard? And we'll kick it off with Alchemy.
Okay.
I don't think it's a threat. Mm-hmm. But didn't I read? I think this was touched on a little bit that like people were worried about that with like things that they have invested with their Bungie account, right?
Okay.
Wasn't that part of the concern that we had someone in Discord even talking about that? But then they discovered that it may not be like what they were concerned about with that motive with their investment into their Bungie wasn't going to be harmed, you know, in any way. Like everything's going to be fine. We'll stay connected. But yeah, I would say nah.
Yeah. Okay. Worthy Wally in chat says, I am so interested in this question. Which means that now I cannot give a half rear answer. I have to give a whole rear answer.
Uh-oh.
I was going to just literally joke and say no and no next question. But is Sony's acquisition of Bungie a threat to Microsoft? No, I can't elaborate any more than that. I think
in no way.
The fact that Microsoft literally acquired, I don't know, this little thing called World of Warcraft. I just do not think that the Destiny player base, as big as it is and as awesome as it is, and full of just lovely people whose names rhyme with Felicia. I think as great as those people are, I do not think that's the same representation of market share that you've got when Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, and all of these titles converge all at the same time. And I have to admit, I don't know a lot of other Activision titles. I wish I did. I feel like I should. I know we talked about, what was it, Dance Dance Revolution? That's not right. Is that right? It's Just Dance?
Let me find out.
I don't know.
Just Dance, that's right. Yeah,
look up some other Activision titles for us. I'd like to know. And remember, Candy Crush, guys. I mean, if that's going to be, there's a sword that cuts down the middle, it's Candy Crush.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So some, just real quick, some Activision titles are Tony Hawk, Crash Bandicoot, Sekiro, Spyro.
Okay. Yeah. So these are great single player titles. I know Tony Hawk has its own like little niche following. And that came up in chat earlier. We were talking about best soundtracks. Mm-hmm. Tony Hawk came up along with Jet Set Radio. If anybody remembers that vintage, fantastic classic. That said, if you want Jet Set Radio vibes and you are on Xbox, just do yourself a favor. If you've never found this title, it was an Xbox One launch title called Sunset Overdrive. Download Sunset Overdrive. Enjoy the maddest parkour you've had since Jet Set Radio. Enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. It's very colorful. A lot of fun. Samuel Jackson, I believe, is on the voice cast for that. It's quite hilarious. maybe. Actually, I don't know if he is. I think he's got a good impersonator. I think they were going to copy him. But anyway, that said, I think the scope is just so different. I don't think it's the same. Now, what I would say is in terms of a threat to Microsoft, maybe it's not a financial threat, but it could be an operational threat in a way. Because if you think about, but see, I don't think they would do that. My head is going to like, what if they took Microsoft off the crossplay or something like that? But
that would be so bad for them. Such a dumb move. Think of all the things that Microsoft owns now.
That's not a doable deal.
That's not the move at all.
So in that way, I don't think it's anywhere close. But good question. Very good question. Donna, what about you?
I kind of have similar opinions to what you do. I definitely think that Microsoft, the acquisition was a lot larger. You know, they got a lot more out of their deal. They also spent a lot more on it.
Uh-huh.
I think Bungie was a good move for Sony. I think that they'll definitely profit off of having Bungie because, I mean, it's a free model. So, I mean, anybody can get out on the game and then they're just going to get lured in by all the things they can't do without the expansions. So,
yeah.
I think it's a good move, but no, like the other two, I don't think it's anything near a threat.
Yeah. Okay.
And then moving on, Heavenly Vox, who was in chat, asked, what is a much older game that you would like to see remastered with current graphics and newer playstyles?
Hmm.
And what do you think, Mackingbo?
I'll start off. This one's going to be a little weird, actually. I don't think you guys are probably going to expect this. I think I would like to see something that's supposed to have happened already, and we're still wondering where it is, which is Prince of Persia.
Hmm.
Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, is supposed to be getting a remake, and it's supposed to be here already, and nobody knows what happened. It just stopped. They just stopped it. It's literally even on the signs hanging in your local GameStop as a release that's supposed to be out by now.
No.
Just didn't get shipped. So, who knows? Jury's still out on that one. Maybe we'll solve it by next show, but we have a mystery on our hands. Donut, what about you? What would you like to see cranked out?
I would love to see some like Twisted Metal, like the OG Twisted Metal remasters.
Yeah. Okay.
Like those were so cool growing up, weren't they, man?
That's a good one.
Yes. Yes. There has not been a good combat vehicle game. Mm-mm. Really, since then? I mean,
since Twisted Metal, yeah.
Split Second was kind of good, I guess.
I'll stick by what we said.
Mario Kart.
Same exact vibe.
Same vibe. Totally same vibe. Anyway, who we got left? Alchemy.
Yeah, I would go with Earthbound.
Okay. Remind me of Earthbound.
So. Take you back to I won't go back to the first game, Mother, but the Earthbound was a game that was out on the Super Nintendo, and like it's that game that if you look it up, it's got the big like huge gold. It looks like a robot, but it's like an alien.
Okay,
it's a role playing game. You know, kind of the graphics back then were so much like if you're playing Zelda, but it's like a neighborhood. It gets invaded by, you know, aliens.
Okay.
But like that game, I used to have that actual box, the big one with the gold robot alien guy with the game and all the packaging. Like if you look on eBay, that's like $2,000-$3,000 if you have that still.
There's a fan project out there called Earthbound Dimensions. Did you know about this?
Huh.
No, but I've played Earthbound like on my Switch when you go into the shop. So that I've got my fill that way, but playing it, you know, in the old graphics and such, it's fun, it's nostalgic, but I would love to see it remade in some way, kind of like they try to do with the Pokemon game we were talking about, but I don't know. I'm not sure how they would go about it. Would it still be like an overhead? Would it be like, you know, third person, first person? I don't know, but I would be interested.
I'm going to give credit to a guy named John Frischia here. Frischia? I don't know. I apologize, John. I'm sure you're listening to the show. NintendoEnthusiast.com has an article that says Earthbound Dimensions is a fan project to reimagine Earthbound in 3D. And then the subtext is Earthbound 3D, the thing that Nintendo could totally do and totally will not do. And it's got kind of, it was a cult classic, right? From what I'm reading here. They're apparently they're just Nintendo's really stubborn about not bringing Earthbound or Mother, the Mother series, I guess, in general to Nintendo Switch. And there's a project out there called Earthbound 3D, which is being made in an engine called Godot, which is like a programming overlay, like kind of like Unity or something. And it's got a very like Pokemon art style to it. It very, very interesting. I don't know anything about it. But now I'm going to have to read it. Oh, this is where Ness came from, isn't it?
Yes.
Golly. He's
the little psychic kid.
Yes. Yes. Little psychic kid. And what's the other guy's name? Luca, is that right? What's the other guy?
His brother. And then his brother's like, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
I forget.
It's okay. It's not worth trying to figure out right now. But you can enjoy them both in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate on Switch. So anyway,
that's where I did.
Yeah, there you go.
A while.
Very nice.
So, Donut, we got another question.
So, we have actually three that come from Kit. She's always putting in really good questions. So thank you so much, Kit, for being so great.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that she asked was, is there an old school game that you just couldn't get into as a kid, but now love as an adult? And one that, so personally, I actually touched on this the last episode, Legendary of Dragoon actually was one that as a kid, I could not play at all. I was such a diehard Final Fantasy, like 7, 8, 9 fan. The Legend of Dragoon actually just felt like a cheap rip to me. And then so I actually went back and played it recently, as in like maybe like last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And it was so good. One of the most compelling like JRPG stories. The gameplay was great.
Really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really good. And it didn't age terribly, honestly. Like it was a total enjoyable experience to go back and play.
Not to be confused with Panzer Dragoon, which is a hot, steaming bowl full of dumpster milk. Yeah, that's just not what you want. But that's awesome. So what about you, Alchemy? Is there a old school game that you feel like you couldn't connect to, but now as an adult you like?
Yeah. Well, so we've been talking, I was talking about like Super Nintendo there for a minute, but I was thinking about a game that I remember my friends were so excited about when, like, this is Nintendo 64 era. I was just thinking about this. The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Like, that's a real big cult classic, right? Like, everybody, like, you know, you got the Ocarina thing came out of it. Like, there was things sold with it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really wanted to love all those games afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think now, recently, just kind of when I played Breath of the Wild, like, I don't know, a few years ago, I just kind of got drawn into, like, wanting to play the old, you know, Zelda games just to like revitalize it in my mind. Like,
what
was it like? So probably that.
Josh Schultz in chat says, not too old, but I want Wave Race 64 again.
That's pretty old.
He is not wrong. That's old. That was, that little, jet skiing game was one of the best titles of all time. So
yeah, I used to own that.
Oh my God.
Best, one of the best of all time.
Dude. So slept on. So slept on.
Absolutely. Dude, I mean, it was great. I mean, I vividly remember playing that. Like, the colors were super vibrant and stuff, but you had Paper Mario that came out, like, the same year.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's probably the kind of example of stuff that overshadowed it. There was a game that I used to love. It was called Slipstream 3000, I think. And it was, like, a jet racing game, but it was, like, a futuristic jet racing game. It was on PC. So good. Stupid good. But a little racist, you know. As I look back, I don't think I would be able to appreciate it as much. Just because every nationality, I mean, they were definitely equal opportunity assaulting everyone. But it was like one of the Street Fighter situations where like every character is a stereotype of the nation they represent. Like a hardcore stereotype. So, Worthy Wally, the way she wrote this comment in chat, I have to read this way. I should like to play every Link game at some point. Because the way she wrote it, I just had to read it that way.
Exactly how she meant it.
Every Link game. Got it. Okay.
also didn't like Majora's Mask when I was younger.
Okay. Oh, wow. That was a great one, too.
I just didn't like it.
Golly. I'll answer the question. She worded it as a closed-ended question. Is there an old-school game you couldn't get into as a kid, but now love as an adult? No. All right. And I hate to be short.
Cool.
My situation has gone in reverse. There were a lot of games I was into as a kid that I can't get into as an adult. I cannot think of one that I would get into now that I couldn't get into then just because of the age I am. And I think the fact that you guys are probably about, 10 years younger than me on average makes a big difference. First time chat from viewer. Lucas Snuck says, best followers, primes, and viewers on mysystem.store. Welcome, Mr. Spam. Thank you so much. First time chat from viewer, you hot trash.
You made it. You made it on the podcast.
You did. You did. You made it to a show. And we're gonna have a little bit of administrative fun now. Goodbye.
Nice. Peace.
Deuces.
Okay, so
the banhammer is real. Here's a game that I couldn't get into as a kid. Banning people. I'm way into that as an adult now. There you go.
Drop the hammer.
Answer included. All right. So, moving on.
All right. Moving on. Yeah. So, Kit, her second question is, are there any games that you like the remake of better than the original and vice versa? Ooh, this is a tough one. What do you think, Alchemy?
Well, I would probably, go back to my favorite games. I talked about Skyrim last time, so I don't want to talk about that because that remaster was great. But Modern Warfare 2 was remastered, and I remember, all the no scoping and just like playing all those maps I used to play like the heck out of. And when I got the remaster version, it just was like great to relive it, and everything just felt better and looked better. So, absolutely, you want to replay that stuff. So definitely for me, Modern Warfare 2.
But no multiplayer, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
that seemed jacked up to me.
Yeah. You just you gotta take what you can get, man.
You do. Amen, man. Amen. There's a sermon in that. What about you, MKB?
Can I say pass so I can think about it for a second?
Sure, man.
You wanna take it down? All right, cool.
Mine is probably, and I know this is going to seem super backwards, but I loved the Final Fantasy VII remake. I thought just being able to...
I'm not feeling good all of a sudden. Sorry, give me a second.
No, but bear with me. Okay, so being able to actually have the playable character be any of the characters in that game, I thought that was such a cool addition. The way that you can see materia work and like the summons were cool, and it's really kind of cool to be submersed in that world that growing up you could only see from this angle, like looking straight down. So to be able to like look around, look up and see like the plates of Midgar, that was, I don't know, it took me way back in such a cool way.
I do agree with that. There were some cool things about it, but it's funny, the earlier question I wish I would have answered sarcastically. At one of them. Which one was it? Hang on a second. Let me scroll because this is worth jamming on. Hang on a sec. It was yes. What's a much older game you'd like to see remastered with current graphics and newer play styles? I was going to answer Final Fantasy VII.
Well, like everyone else did for the past 15 years.
No. Well, no, I was going to answer it. Even though that exists, I'd still like to see it remastered. Sorry.
I'm gonna hop off here. I'll see y'all later.
So,
real quick, Solace48 said the Spyrus remastered games are pretty great. Brought me right back to being a kid.
Spyro, yes. Reignited, right?
Really good.
That is a good one. Golly, I don't know. There's a couple. There's Legend of the Wind Waker is one, right?
Okay.
That's gotten a really good remake on Switch. But then also what's coming up, I'm excited for this and I have a lot of faith in it. Chrono Trigger is coming out in a couple weeks. So I'm really, really excited about that. So we'll see. But
Tony, is it a full remaster?
I believe so. Yeah. Nice. Tony Hawk also. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, the Tony Hawk remake was nice.
Yeah. I was thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very, very, very good one. If you haven't picked that up, I'm sure it's already gone through price drop. Definitely worth a couple bucks. Throw them your money because they deserve it.
Yeah.
Donut, what about you? You already said
Yes, yeah, so I got mine.
Yeah.
But on that note, the last question that we have in our mailbag this week was, what is the best video game soundtrack of all time? And this, again, was Kit. And I'm going to throw this one back over to our underground music aficionado, MKB.
Okay, so I'm going to give two answers. Since this is our last question, I'm going to go big here. Okay. And I'm going to give two answers because obvious reasons. One, we can make friends again. Donut, here's how. Final Fantasy VII.
I love you.
Best soundtrack of all time. Personal opinion.
Of all time.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That said, if I had to choose another one, then I was just like, dang, this soundtrack, yo. It would be Ori and the Blind Forest.
Okay.
Also very, very good. Dragon Quest, not bad either. Tokyo Symphony Orchestra actually recorded hours upon hours upon hours of music. Such a popular game. It's a national holiday in Japan when it comes out. They literally, everybody goes home from work to play Dragon Quest. That's the deal.
No way.
Yeah, it was Dragon Quest 12. It was the last one that came out. Echoes of an Elusive Age, I believe it's called. Wow. It's the characters are designed by the same gentleman that designs all the characters for Dragon Ball.
Oh, that's
cool. The voices
are very similar art style too.
That's what it is. Yeah, absolutely. But the music is also very, very good. It's kind of like a distant cousin to the Nobuo Uematsu type soundtracks. But again, if you haven't enjoyed Ori and the Blind Forest, definitely do it. It's a lovely title. I think it actually might even be on Game Pass. I'm not sure.
It is for Series X and S too.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. That's me. Dono, what about you?
So you already said, I guess my number one would be Final Fantasy VII, like you said. But if I had to choose another one, all of the Mass Effect soundtracks were like super epic as well.
Even Andromeda?
So, yeah. No, we don't consider that a Mass Effect. The real fans, we don't.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah, we don't talk about Andromeda. No.
Don't even say the A word. No, but they were all really good. I wouldn't even put them, as far as scoring goes, it doesn't even come close to any of the Final Fantasies, I think. Sure. But it's really cool and fits the vibe
it
of the game.
Definitely had vibe. Like, it was locked in, for sure. I remember, the Mako, the that you would take, like, through the tunnels and stuff and fight the husks and everything. Like, the graphics were trash. But I remember, my best memory of that was, like, feeling like I was really in the vibe because the music was so good. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
It was definitely fun.
It's a fact.
Alchemy, what about you?
Oh, man. You know, I've never told you this, but there's a song you have. Well, I'll just skip to this. The game is Donkey Kong 64 for me, man.
Okay.
Mm. I can hear it. Like, there's no real, I don't know, way to explain it. It's totally fitting the vibe of the game, though. I mean, it's just like all these weird sounds sometimes, but they're all moody and vibing. As a kid, I think I played that game so much, and like that stuff just gets locked in your brain, you know, when you get older. And I'll hear things, and I'll just be like, "Oh yeah, Donkey Kong 64. That's what that sounds like."
Yeah.
But I want to say something else is my number two, since we are kind of doing that.
Yeah.
We missed a comment that Heavenly Vox made. He was just like throwing out the name Escape from Tarkov, which, if anyone isn't familiar, it's a PC game. It's a it's based in like Europe somewhere, maybe Russia.
Eastern Europe, feels like,
It's kind of like, you know, very hardcore game, you know, very hardcore gaming like that, survival type of game shooter.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't heard the intro music and some of the music when you get through some of the menus, it's just like this crazy heavy, like, I wouldn't call it like like doom is like heavy rock, like heavy metal. You know, you're like headbanging type of music.
Oh,
and it's a man when you're about to go shoot people in the head. I mean,
what's not to like?
You gotta psych yourself up before you shoot somebody in the head. Everybody knows this.
That's a fact.
I remember my first headshot. You know?
Yeah.
I mean. speaking of which, actually, here's a classic just to throw out there, like a pioneering game. Everybody heard this game called Quake?
Okay.
Okay, yes, so Quake 1 soundtrack was done by Nine Inch Nails.
Oh. Wow.
And it was very, very good. This was right around the time that Trent Reznor was kind of like getting ready to go out on his own and do a lot of stuff. And then, you know, of course, you know, I don't know, 10 years later, he's soundtracking movies and stuff now. You know what I mean?
Didn't the guy that created Stardew Valley create his own music for that game too? Because he wrote that entire game.
Yeah, the guy made the whole thing. Yeah, it was all coded and min-maxed and designed, and it was done in Unity, wasn't it? I could be wrong. I feel like it was a Unity game. Looks like a Unity game. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I think it is.
But it's nothing but sprites. But if he made his own music, that's fantastic. Yeah. So, guys. This brings us to the end of a mailbag, the end of a news segment, the end of a bunch of jolly discussion, and I would say the end of an episode, but not the end of an era, because we're going to do this again.
Mm.
All right. But thank you to everybody who has stuck with us in chat throughout this entire duration. You guys are iron men and iron women ready for your marathon. A bunch of triathletes hanging out with
us. That's right.
That said, if you're enjoying this podcast, do your fellow gamers a favor and help them find this. The way you would do that is if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, try to give us a rating, huh? You know, thumbs it up, favorite it, you know, include it on your playlist, whatever the case may be. On Apple, you can leave a review and even talk about it. Send it to your mom if your mom likes gaming. We'd love your mom to tune in next week. Who knows? It That'd doesn't be cool. really matter, but seriously, no. You know, if remember, in terms of like independent content, the best way you can support independent content creators is all free. It literally is just tell somebody about it. Make a Twitter post, make an Instagram post, send it to your friend in a text. It's not hard. But if you do appreciate the effort that we put in to get ready for these episodes, because we sure do. You know, share the good news and get somebody
and buy our merch.
You can buy the merch, but more importantly, we'd love for you guys to help grow the community. We are ready for another burst of growth at this time. We know that we can handle those well. We've done it before. We'll do it again. And, you know, the best way to do that is to go to higherscoregaming.com and just click the little join our Discord button. It's easy as that.
We will
welcome you with open arms, answer all your questions. It's actually how you get a question on the mailbag. And then if you want to hang out with us and game with us, we are all about that. So you just have to fling us a line and let us know. But any closing comments, Alchemy? Donut Monkey?
I will carry you in Tiny Tina's Borderlands.
Tiny Tina's Borderlands, that's what we're calling. The reality is that's what it is. No, it's a fantastic title. Enjoy whatever your day has ahead of you at this point. God bless you guys all. And thanks for tuning in again. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Take care.